The Dragon Ball Super situation is actually stupid.
Nano! Yeah, what up?
Listen, man, I'm going to cut the small talk. Maybe we can get to it in a second, but I want to get to the main topic of why we advertised this video the way we did. Sorry, this podcast, whatever. What's up?
Go ahead.
Key moments. That's not a doy. I'm NanoGenix. You can check out our respective channels. Link down below in the description if you've never seen us before. And if not, we also come here to this channel to talk about things like Dragon Ball Super hyping up an announcement, showing off a picture, and that was the announcement.
Wait, what? Wait, hold on. Wait. The Legends? Are you talking about the Legends crossover?
No. So, there's a lot of news today. You guys got to say tapped
okay.
in.
You confused. You
guys,
so, you're... Wait,
you
are
guys
got to
be tapped in
the
today.
The Goku Beast Gohan one?
Yes.
That was what the news was about?
So, there's multiple things going on here. Okay? So, first off, let's come back to a story from last week. Let's be a proper podcast. So, there was a story last week.
Take us back in time.
There was a story last week where Toyotaro is going to be at Japan Expo at the beginning of July. And there was apparently a mistranslation, and a lot of people thought he was going to this expo to discuss a new project that was not going to be Dragon Ball Super. Dado and I didn't discuss it too much because, you know, there was so much up in the airness about all of it. And you even said, like, that's cool, I guess, but what was the point of him being the successor and taking over Dragon Ball Super to then go work on another project? And there's been clarification since we recorded that previous podcast. It is about Dragon Ball Super. But they hyped up an announcement this week, Dotto.
No, can I just stop you here? I went to DBS Hype on Twitter because I'd not seen this until you just said this. So I want my first impression to just be captured right here.
Okay.
Wow, dude. Like that, it's worse than what I even thought it could be after getting my hopes crushed, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I hope I'm not saying they, and when I say they, it's really just like the people on Twitter, like the hype up stuff. And I really just, until I am watching an episode of Dragon Ball Super or reading another chapter of Dragon Ball Super, that series isn't on a hiatus. That series is done to me. Like I'm over this, dog. We've been through this same dance for like over 7 years now, bro. But basically they were like, there's going to be an announcement this week. And the announcement was that they're turning this illustration you can see on your screen right now of UI
and
Goku
if you can,
and Beast.
There you go. Nice.
They're turning this into a figure. Which is cool, by the way. That's cool. I say this because one of my favorite, this is such a basic take, but one of my favorite figure arts is for sure the Toyotaro UI Goku, because that figure arts is really sick. And it came with a SNH Figure Arts Encyclopedia, which is one of the reasons why I opened it, just because I wanted to be able to actually look at that. Because I love figure arts, man. Those are literally one of my favorite collectible like items I've ever participated in collecting. So I think it is cool, and I think it's neat that we're getting another Toyotaro sort of illustration turned into a figurine. But it's like they teased another Dragon Ball Super project, and the tease was for this illustration being turned into a figurine. You can't keep doing this.
Yeah, like, I was gonna like obviously it's not a huge deal, right? Like people will just forget. But what I will say is, as Americans, the only thing I can relate this to is an American company could never get away with this, dog. Like,
hell no.
This is a Japanese company, or I guess I shouldn't even say that. This is a Dragon Ball ass move. Like, how many times can you tease shit? And it is the most, like, whatever thing of all time. It's insane. Like, I actually, you know, I participated. I wouldn't say my hopes were actually high. When I saw the initial, like, you know, because initially we were like, oh my God, it's going to be about something else. No, it is going to be about Super. And once I saw that, I was like, okay, let me participate in the hype, the jokes going around. And I was like, we're back, bro. It's never been more over. Like, it's actually crazy.
So this is the equivalent of, like, right now with Nintendo, we're all anticipating a very, like, a new 3D Mario game. And they're like, hey, Mario announcement next Wednesday. So we all get tapped in. And when we get there, they're like, it's this really cool new figure that you can pick up at Universal. If you go to the opening of Epic Universe, you can pick up this figure. And we're like, wait, what? You said there was an announcement next Wednesday. Like, what?
Yeah, like, who cares, dog? I got to be honest. Who cares?
And even more so, like, if Nintendo really hyped it up and it was just like Mario's, like, hat laying on the ground or something, you know? And it's like, big news next Wednesday. It was just like, you could. Also, there's this life-size version that when you go to Epic Universe, you can see, but then you can also take it home. Like, it's a whole thing. Anyway, that's basically what they did this for. Now, I just want to clarify, this is not what apparently he's going to discuss at Japan Expo in the beginning of July. So there are multiple things going on. So there is still something to look forward to at the beginning of July. As of right now, though, there is zero news on Dragon Ball Super. And I think the thing is, we live in, it's 2025, bro. Everyone's aware of everything. Right. Like if companies are not being aware of how fans feel about certain things, then they're choosing to live in ignorance, essentially. Right. They're choosing to not pay attention to that aspect of it because we've never been more connected than we are right now. There's no way they don't know that every single Dragon Ball fan ever is waiting with bated breath for the continuation of Dragon Ball Super. Like, that's what people want. And so to play with our emotions like that is crazy. Again, like you said, it's not that big. It's really not. I mean, it's whatever, right? How many times have they done this? A new Dragon Ball Super announcement. It's like
a million times, bro. Yeah. Like, it actually does. It actually doesn't even matter, but I wish it did.
So there are, and this is podcast ass moment, because I didn't. This is middle, we're going in no research. Yep. This is not one of my actual topics that I brought to the table today. So this is a podcast ass moment. But I do remember, or think I remember, seeing something that we are going to have multiple announcements this year in relation to Dragon Ball. And I do remember seeing some of that rumors of the next movie, which is always cool. You and I have talked about this at length on this podcast, though. Both of us just want, like, an ongoing series. Like, if you laid out in front of me two pills, and one pill is I get even a seasonal anime that's, like, consistent, right? Not Dragon Ball Daima, where once it ends, who knows if we ever get anything else. But an actual, like, anime we know is going to be consistent, or a movie, I'm choosing the anime, for sure. Especially after seeing Daima, because Daima looked like a movie anyway. So, like, I think you're you still in agreement with that? Wouldn't you rather just have the anime?
Yeah, over a movie. I think movies are honest. Yeah, no. I'm taking the anime every day because I'd rather
say some heinous shit. Well, you were like, you're charging that, and because
I sound a little hypocritical because recently, hopefully this isn't a topic, I'm jumping ahead, but Demon Slayer, I saw a tweet, a podcast moment alert. But yeah, no, I like about Demon Slayer just being all movies. And I was like, dude, like, that actually sounds hype to me. I don't know if you agree.
Same. Like, I'm agreeing to that.
Like, to me, I'm like, you know what? I'll kind of with it, like, make it one big, like, movie trilogy finale special. And it's actually kind of hype. But do the same thing for Dragon Ball. Maybe it's the way they promote it. Maybe it's the fact that it's just like, they are more canon now, which I do appreciate, but they are still very disjointed. In the fact that, you know, who knows when they're going to take place. They might redo it in the manga. There's so much bitch, like, lame stuff that comes across with it. And also the marketing, like, either it all gets revealed beforehand or the really cool stuff like Beast Gohan only lasts like a couple minutes. So for Dragon Ball, just give me the anime.
Before I go back to that, let's talk about Demon Slayer for just a second. Or just the movie discussion for just a second. I think you and I were on the same page, because just to back this up with the movie, adapting arcs as movies, I think we were both on the same page where we wanted Attack on Titan to end as a movie. Like, I wanted, especially once they stretched it out and we got the final season. Okay, this is really the final season. You know, like, they kept doing that with Attack on Titan. I would have much rather those last two episodes have just been one long movie that I could just go watch in theater, which they eventually did do that. They brought Attack on Titan to theaters, but I mean, that was late. It was a year plus later. I wanted it to debut the ending of Attack on Titan as a movie. That would have been awesome. That would have been really, really cool to have watched that in theaters. So I think that'll be the same thing, which I don't know. I'm behind on Demon Slayer. The last thing Demon Slayer I watched was literally season two with Tengen, which, damn, that was a good season of anime, bro. I loved that so much. I've not watched season, I think I'm two seasons behind, right? They've done two more seasons since then. Because there was the Hashira arc, and then what was before that? There was one before that, because this is the Infinite Castle.
It was training, and then the Swordsmith Village, I think.
Okay, I think it's Swords, because Hashira is the most recent, I believe.
Yeah, Hashira training.
Because you get like I'm glad you brought that up, because that was actually one of my topics, and I totally forgot. Because I wanted to see how you felt about the idea of them. I will say it being, apparently it's going to span like 6 years though. But I imagine if they were adapting the anime, it would probably span that long too.
Well, either way, I'm going to be honest. Demon Slayer ended. There was like a whole like thing with the artist. But if I was the company that got the anime rights, I want it to last as long as possible. Like they didn't get to milk it. I think this is their way of milking it. And second thing, outside of just milking shit, you know, whatever, man. 6 years is not even that long of a time if you really think about it. Like, every 2 years we get in a movie, like, that's fine. Like, I can't really complain about that. It's, like, better than Spider-Verse. How long has it been since the first Spider-Verse?
First Spider-Verse came out in 2019, I believe. And mm-hmm. then we got so the next one in 2023. Hang on. Into the... there's no way. Was it really? It was 2018! Holy cow! 7 years ago, bro, and we're still, what, 2 years out from Beyond the Spider-Verse?
Exactly, bro. Is 6 years really that bad?
Dude, no. When they announced we were getting the second one, like, 8 months after watching that, you know, sorry, the third one, but the second, like, the two-parter, right? You know, because Across and Beyond, yeah. Anyway, I was like, I don't believe that. No way. And now, look, we're 2 years since I sat in the theaters and watched that, and...
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't even know going into that second one. Obviously, now my tone has changed on it. I didn't know it was gonna be a two-parter, so I left pissed. I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, because
I was like,
is.
"Well, at least it's gonna be soon." And then I'm like, "Yeah, okay, bro."
The ending of that over. Movie is hype, though, bro. The getting the band back together track is so freaking sick, dude. Oh my gosh, bro! Damn, I love that movie. I bought that soundtrack on vinyl. I have a vinyl set up downstairs with like some nice speakers.
Are you throwing a bit of that? I was gonna say Frank Ocean, Frank Sinatra.
I should get some Frank Sinatra. That would be sick. Dotto, next topic. We're shifting speed a little bit.
Mm.
What do you think? And you guys too. Sorry for you audio listeners. DBS Hype put up a picture. And it's Goku's disappointed look. And you know which one I'm talking about. If you don't, it's when he's on Namek and he's looking down at Frieza. And compared his manga versus anime versus fighters versus Kakarot versus Sparking. And then now versus Gekshin Squadra. And somebody quote tweeted this with a lot of interactions. 10K likes and 500 plus retweets. And said, is it not insane how the anime is the worst one here? I want to get y'all's opinion. And I want to get Dotto's opinion. Do you think it's the worst one? Because I don't. I immediately look at this and I know which one. And this is crazy because I glazed this game a lot. But there's one to me that I think is easily the worst here.
I have two that are... Actually, the anime being the worst is like the craziest thing of all time. I'm not even going to lie. Like, if you're asking me to pick my worst one, I'm going...
Oh, dude, wait, is this it without it being correct? Is this it raw? Because that's like the best one. Is this what it was supposed to look like before Funimation butchered it? Because that might be the best one.
Wait, what? Are you looking at a different picture than me?
Yeah, wait, were you? Oh, I went live. I went live. Were you not looking at that?
Oh, no, I did not see that. No. Yeah, hang no, on, I saw it.
Look.
I mean, it looks good. Even the way it is, I really don't care because my list is probably going Sparking Zero. It might actually be Gekshin, low-key, honestly. It might be Gekshin, Sparking Zero.
That's who I was talking about. Gekshin's the worst by far.
It might be Gekshin, Sparking Zero, and then Kakarot. In that order. And then, honestly,
you're going from bottom to top, right? Bottom to top.
Yeah, bottom to top. Like, bottom is Gekshin, then after that is Sparking Zero, then Kakarot, and honestly, you could probably change those two, and it wouldn't... I wouldn't fight you either way, honestly.
I think in this particular frame, Kakarot does look quite a lot better to me than Sparking does. I don't know. I'm really vibing with the look of Kakarot a lot more here in this particular sequence than Sparking. I just want to bring this to your attention, because I want to see how high up you put Fighters.
I don't know. I still wouldn't say it's as good as the anime. Like, it's based off. Like, it would be, I think mine would be manga, anime, Fighters. And then that's it.
Yeah, the manga panel just goes so hard, bro. But this shot...
Hey, bro, I ain't gonna flame him. He a good artist.
This shot is really good.
That might even surpass it, you know?
Like, this shot is very, very good, man. Hang on, I gotta get a link to it just so, like, that way, every time I say this, like, Toasty can actually show it on screen. Yeah, that shot is, man.
Also, it's also the picture, I know audio listeners can't see it, the picture they used for the anime wasn't even a very flattering
shot. No, it's really off-colored.
It might be from, like, one of the blown-up editions, too, because, like, the chin is out of focus.
Yeah, it doesn't look...
How are we even comparing type shit? Like, that's not even fair.
Anyway, I just want to see, like, I can't believe it got that many interactions, because I feel like genuinely to me, there's a gap before you even start talking about Sparking Kakarot, like, and then getting down to Gekshin. And it's crazy, because Gekshin is beautiful. I think in most instances, it is my second favorite looking Dragon Ball game of all time, right behind Fighters, because it really is just very pretty. But this is, like, the one probably truly unflattering shot from that game, because usually that game is, like, leaps and bounds above everything else.
Yeah, no, I'll say it again, bro. Gekshin is looking like it's going to be, like, one of the best 3D, like, iterations of Dragon Ball ever. I mean, it just looks good. I mean, I'm literally on Hype's page. Under this is the, like, Goku celebrating emote, which isn't too crazy. It's just, like, him, like, stretching. But it looks really good, bro. I'm not hating on the way Gekshin looks, but that one is pretty, like, but ugly. It don't look that good.
So while we're here, I wanted to bring up next topic. We're flying.
Next topic.
We're flying.
We're hitting everything,
so,
bro.
This last week, we had the Gekshin Squadra network test. Now, we got a producer, like, thing, and they said they're hopefully going to release in 2025. Right? That's the goal anyway, I think. And we got to play it again, and we finally got to see a bit more into how they're going to monetize, and we got to see some proper, like, variations of skins, because that's how they're going to make their money. If you're not familiar, Gekshin Squadra is Project Multi was something was debuted last year, and it's a MOBA. It's a Dragon Ball MOBA, but it is really pretty. It's made by the people that made the Fusions game for 3DS. And it is incredibly, like, manga accurate. Like, they're definitely going for manga accuracy with this game. And it's really, really impressive. And if the term MOBA, like, turns you off, it's free. So you can try it out. I would at least give it a shot. It has, honestly, no business being as fun as it actually is. It is a very, very fun game. Super quick in and out. It's on literally everything. This is starting to sound like an ad. It's not. But they're not going to... I've seen a lot of confusion, because a lot of people are calling it a gacha game. And it does have gacha aspects, but... Typically, if you've never played a MOBA, they sell you on skins. They don't sell you on... Like, you can buy the characters to progress your account faster, but you can unlock characters free. Now, we've not seen totally how... Like, we kind of got a glimpse of that, too. You just basically level up your account, and then you get access to unlock a character and so forth. But the gacha aspect comes in when you're trying to pull for, like, cool... what would you call them, Dotto? Because it's not just... I guess cosmetics, but, like, MVP, like, the cool emotes.
Yeah, I guess it's cosmetics.
It's just cosmetics. Like, and there's no pay to win. There's no, like, at least right now anyway, there's no, you get a stat bonus.
Yeah, before you get fucking crazy stat boost.
Yeah, you don't get stat boost. But I've seen a lot of people that see the free-to-play aspect, and they think it's another Dokkan or Legends thing, where it's like, oh shit, well, you're gonna have to spend a bunch of money on this game. Whereas I don't think, at least right now, and again, in most cases with MOBAs, like the League of Legends, they definitely do, and League has gotten... very egregious with this, right? With their gacha sort of ultimate skins. But people complain about those. So, like, and I get it. It is very greedy. It's very scummy. But, like, you don't need any of that shit. I mean, like you don't need to have the cosmetics. You obviously want them. You want to flex on people. That's kind of the point. But at the same time, to just play the pure raw experience of playing the game is completely like free. You can unlock all the heroes for free, which is what I did back in the day for the most part. Anyway, sorry.
Unlocking heroes in League, that shit used to be the best.
Yes. Yeah. This is such a long ass winded way to bring this up, which is we got to see some of the more impressive skins that this game will have. They're still nowhere near as like out there as impressive. I want them to be. I know. We can talk about that in a sec too. But this tweet and several tweets related to it went pretty viral because looked at Sparking Zero and got so sad. And I'm just like, dude, I made a whole the rise and fall of Sparking Zero. Okay. I am guilty of pushing a negative agenda on this game. I'm caught. But what I will say is that in the defense of Sparking Zero, this is Gekshin's whole entire like payment plan. This is the only way this game is going to make money. So they damn well better have actual customization for their characters. Sparking Zero, I do think customization should have been there way more, but it's not even, to me, that's not even a core of what I even ever expected out of Sparking Zero. That's a cool bonus, but I'm like, how are we comparing these two? Why are we comparing this?
I mean, I'd agree with you. I think the post is funny. I get it. You know, yes, I'm in on the joke
dunk on
type
the game,
shit.
Dunk on the game, but like,
but yeah, no, Gekshin is using this to make money. And cosmetics is not the problem with Sparking Zero at all. In any way, to be honest. Cosmetics aren't going to do anything to Sparking Zero. In fact, I wish, honestly, they would have scrapped the whole cosmetic system. Take it out. Like, giving people the ability to put a fucking halo on is just corny at that point. Get rid of it.
I know. I will definitely, again, to go on the other side of this and agree with you. Yeah. What was the point of having that system when there's so little to the customization of each character? Like they're just,
it's just another thing to get people like, not even to get people. It's just like another thing that's like, they were like, I guess we should put this in there. Nah.
It's why I'm
probably
telling you
done anything else.
It's why I'm telling you, dude, I think a sequel will come faster than not, because I think that there was a lot of good ideas. And I think they'll just execute on them better. And I know what you're about to, and I know
the game landscape has changed,
dude. Like they're not releasing a Battle of Z anymore. They're not releasing an Ultimate Tenkaichi anymore. They're, like those types of games, I don't think. They might prove me wrong. And maybe some of you guys are listening to this and going, I wish they would, because those are better than fucking Sparking Zero. I think you're crazy, by the way, if you think either of those games are better than Sparking Zero. We've talked about this at length, so I don't want to talk about too much more. I just think Sparking Zero is I'm with you now 100%. Like it's a game. It's a game from a completely just different era. That's what it is. And I think people put too much weight on. I think people will put too much weight on any game that has a multiplayer feature. Like people think that every game that's a multiplayer game you should be playing for like literally ever. Like you're excited for Gears. Like yes. you're excited for Gears, but do you think you're gonna play Gears multiplayer for like 6+ months? Like every night?
No, not every night. I do hope I play it a decent bit, but. In credit to your point, Gears is like fucking dead as hell, man. Like even back when I enjoyed Gears at its most, it was dead. Like there was just nothing going on. A game like that that doesn't get constant updates, just can't exist. It can't exist at all. It's the same way as like map packs are just an outdated form of DLC. No company's going to do map packs because it makes no sense to cut off your customers. They'd rather just have everybody on the same basis. And that way, everybody can give them money all at the same time.
Map packs were exciting as shit, though, dude. I got so excited for map pack drops on COD, dude.
Bro,
oh my gosh!
That's the thing is,
I'd request like, time off work so I could be available to play those map. Like, dude, they were
exciting. Call of Duty had the cool map pack. I'm not gonna lie though, as the guy that just never bought them, and when I did, and I'll remember, it was Halo Reach that hoed me the most. Like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy the map packs. Nobody fucking buys them, so you never see the maps. It is so, like, I remember just thinking, I was like, well, this is ass. I paid money, and I hate it. Like, I wish I didn't. Nobody bought it. I'm the only idiot sitting here that bought it. And I think that's pretty much how people feel. If how I felt back then with Reach's map packs is how people feel. Because What I was going to say, Nano, you know, in general, what I was going to say, I saw another fucking gigantic, and obviously, you know, my feed and everything, but I saw another gigantic, like 70K like fucking short form video. Like, damn, when you calling somebody stupid, but remember you spent $70 on Sparky Zero?
No.
Like 70,000. I was like, oh my God, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like, I think it is like, damn, bro. I'll always think back to when people were like, I'm going to be nuts on Sparking Zero, bro. It's that, like, that was the beginning of the end. Obviously not in a bad way. Like, Bandai made their money. They don't care. It kind of worked out for them. But that was, like, setting the precedent of the game up on the most, like, shaky stilts of all time.
I mean, that game probably could have never truly 100% lived up to everyone's expectations of what it was supposed to be, because it had a legacy of almost 20 years of people, you know, remembering Budokai Tenkaichi 3 more fondly than they actually did. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it I don't know, the more distance you get and the more time you give yourself between things, like, it makes you, like, grow to appreciate them even more. And I feel like it just, I don't know, there's the shoes were far too big to fill. Although I don't know, I don't want to talk about Sparking too much more, but let's talk about these Gekshin Squadra skins, dude. These are better than I thought they would be. They are still not what I want.
Like, yeah, no, they better than I thought they would ever be. Slash, man, that's depressing for me at least. Like, that's. I want to see.
I don't know. Like, I'm just gonna. And some of you guys are gonna obviously disagree, because we the whole point of, like, blogging into League of Legends and seeing a champion that has like 20 fucking skins is because everyone has different tastes. But I think it would be cool to see, like, obviously not Power Ranger for licensing sake, and because I don't think that Dragon Ball is going to ever let itself or any other game do crossover with it, because whatever, but Power Ranger Vegeta, right? Like, that is very clearly a Power Ranger fit, but it's not, and it's Vegeta and a Power Ranger fit, or Gladiator Goku, or you know, we've got Business Suit Krillin, but what about, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of just, like, different random skins, but what about, like, K-pop star Krillin or something? I don't know. Right. I'm thinking of, like, KDA. That's the stuff I hope that they get to, but do you think they ever will, Dotto? So the fact that we're seeing.
No. Cause I honestly kind of get it on their part. Cause at the same time, I talk about this topic and I'm pretty passionate about it, but more just from a logistics standpoint, as to me, it makes no sense to create a live service game with such a, like, oh, we're going to sell skins. Okay, what kind of skins are you going to do? Only things that have been officially seen. All right, well, that's fucking wraps. I guess it's GG, bro. We're going to sell people Whis Uniform Goku, like Whis Gi Goku? Is that
They're
what we're
going to
do?
They're going to, though. That's the thing. They're going
they
to.
They will, but that's the thing. And I was just like, ugh. Like, it would make, if you're going to base it off just selling the characters, like Dokkan or something else, that's okay. But when you're selling costumes, how are you selling costumes with no costumes? But then I step back. I'm the guy that I don't even like playing with alternate colors in fighters. Like, when the characters were designed, they did a good job, bro. What am I supposed to say? Like, I like the way they look now. So would I buy crazy costumes? Maybe, maybe not. But I know damn well I'd buy them over, like, you know, suit Krillin. I just was like, okay, what's next? Cop Krillin. Okay, I can tell you all the Krillin skins. Krillin with hair. Yeah, that one's going to be there. It's like, you already know every skin that's going to be in this game. It actually, and to the point where, like, people post, like, I got to see this skin in the game. You will. That is the only other skin.
when people like are literally showing off fits that you've seen these characters in before, it's like, yeah, man, I mean, this is the entire basis of how they're going to make money on this game.
We gotta get Yard Rat Goku in it. We will. Yeah, it's like, his only other outfit, bro. We will. We need the jacket, Goku. You will. It's gonna be. That's the only. Like, again, congrats. You've covered 6 months of content at most,
dude.
We're trying to last for at least 3 years, guys.
I don't want to glaze too much with the League talk, but, like, League had, like, I love, when I used to play League all the time. Like, it was literally the game that when I came home after work, it was the game I played, right? It was the game in college that I neglected all my work and I had to stay up till like 5 a.m. the night before a project was due because I played League for like the rest of the week, right? Hours upon hours putting this game. And I love how they dropped, like, actual packs of skin, or they still do it, packs of skins that all relate. That would be so cool if, like, we could queue up as a four man and we all had the same similar skin. Like, right here, I'm looking at Infernal Ash right now on the screen. Like, imagine it's all, like, on fire characters with cool, like, costumes, and they're, like, Infernal Goku, Infernal Krillin, and, you know, they do one of the, sorry, what's the technique? What, it's not called technique, right? Technical. They do one of the technical characters, they do two of the attack type characters, one of the tank characters, so that way you really can queue up as a four man with thematic skins. Which, I know you just said, I don't even really like using alt colors and fighters, but I think, like, if they did that, and also if they would do rank skins, like what League does, where you can only obtain a skin if you hit, you know, gold that season. So you can only obtain a skin if you hit, like, A1 in that season of Project Multi. You get, like, some sort of champion version of Goku, champion version of Vegeta, or whatever. That would be so cool, man. That, like, those are the things I hope this game gets to, but I just have my doubts. And I assume I'll be running around as, like, Super Saiyan Blue Yard Rat Goku, and that'll be... That'll be
the end of it.
Yeah. I made the statement. I wanted to bring it up in the podcast, and then we can move on from this game. But do you think... Not do you think. What do you think about this idea? So right now, Project Multi, aka Gekshin Squadra, has a very unique roster. Like, it actually does. I'm genuinely really impressed with the roster, but I do think we need some heavier hitters in there. There's been a lot of talk in the community lately because of the levels of hype of different sagas, which we'll get to in just a moment. But I think it'd be cool if they launched with an actual fusion character, because every game saves these fusions for their anniversaries and shit. Why not just launch with one out of the gates and get people really, like, interested in your game immediately?
I think I wouldn't do it if I were them, because legitimately, like, you, like, I don't know what you even promote it with, like, at that point. Like, the audience isn't there to, like, do word of mouth, like, reactions and get a big reaction. Then you just have nobody to prompt that reaction. Fusions are just a guaranteed ticket to do that. But I don't know. I think saving it for something is fine.
There's several fusions.
Or at least,
fusions.
Like, not even an anniversary. Like, so, but would you count Gotenks as, like, would that fulfill your...
It would.
Like, are you feeling good?
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Gotenks is, like, whatever. Like,
I was thinking Super Gogeta. I that's where my mind was at, was Super Gogeta specifically. I feel like Super Gogeta...
That wouldn't
Gogeta,
be that bad.
To me, and this is part of the gacha game... well, how would I... I wouldn't say fatigue necessarily, but these games have been here a long time. I think that's why the hype discussion has even been a thing, because Dragon Ball has been so stagnant for the majority of these games' lifespans. I'm, of course, referring to Dokkan and Legends. And so we've seen a lot of repeats of characters, and one specifically that I feel like has lost a bit of its luster in terms of selling it to me in a gacha game a little bit is Super Gogeta. Obviously, if you do it uniquely, then I'm definitely tapped in. But if it's, like, similar to what we've seen prior, then Super Gogeta is probably, like, to me, if I were to power scale my favorite versions of the Goku and Vegeta fusions, Super Gogeta is easily on the bottom for me, right?
Yeah, like, the power scale is funny, because back in the day, you could do, like, Super Gogeta and Janemba, and it's like, whoa, that's exciting stuff. But now it would be like, really? One of them's Janemba and the other one's Super Gogeta, dude? Like, that's boring as fuck.
Yeah, no, people want to see Blue Gogeta. And to be fair, like, Blue Gogeta has infinitely more screen time. He has, like, what, 10x the screen time of... like, Super Gogeta's on screen for no amount of time. and
yeah, people are tired of seeing the three kicks into the... Rainbow Sparkle Ball. they're done with it, dude.
But anyway, so that I would say Super Gogeta, but they're not gonna launch with it. I know they're not. They know they have to pace themselves on characters. That's not gonna happen. But if it wasn't a fusion, who do you think is a very poster child character that could come on here? Because, like, Baby is gonna do something for an actual true Dragon Ball fan. I don't know that Baby Young Body is doing a lot for the general person that, like, had watched Dragon Ball but really likes Goku, Vegeta, all of them, but they're not necessarily super deep into it and maybe never even seen GT, right? There's probably a lot of fans right now that have never literally watched GT. So Baby Young Body's not doing much for them until they actually play them, but seeing, like, Baby Young Body on, like, a screenshot, like, that's probably not doing anything for them. It's like, what's a character that you think is, like, gonna, like, eye catcher, like, really be like, oh shit, hang on, I gotta download. I gotta play as that person.
I think literally just the blues would be good enough. Yeah, I think even that's just fine.
I'm on the same page, bro. I'm telling you, they need just a smidge more of Dragon Ball Super representation in the roster specifically. Like Khalifa, really cool. Really cool. But we need who fought Khalifa in the Tournament of Power? That's right. Super Saiyan God and Super Saiyan Blue, right? So let's go. Let's go. Let's lock it up. All right, Dotto.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Like that alone would be enough.
Since the last time we talked, I wanted to pivot off of Dragon Ball for just a moment.
Finally coming up for air.
Since the last time we spoke, which is just literally it barely just happened. Xbox Showcase. How you feeling?
I thought that shit was boring as fuck, honestly. Like, I can't even lie to you, bro. That shit pissed me off. There were some fine games in there. I'm overreacting. But ending with Call of Duty was the dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen in my life.
That was weird.
It was so dumb because, one, I could tell it cost money. The trailer looked cool.
Dude.
I could tell it cost money.
Why were they baiting us? Why were they faking it out? They purposely made it not look like you were watching a Call of Duty trailer. They purposely
exactly why it pissed me off, because I could tell it was expensive. I could tell it was artsy. And then to end on Black Ops 7, I was like, this trailer influenced the buyer. Like, I want to know how few buyers were convinced to buy the product because of this trailer. The answer is probably sub 100. If you would have just said Black Ops 7 is coming out this day, it would have been the exact same. Or do the final picture or the final 3 seconds of the trailer. The making the whole trailer was tax evasion. This is tax evasion.
So
mostly that stuff was like, but Super Meat Boy, I thought was cool.
Yeah, no, Super Meat Boy was really cool. Really funny doing the showing the pipe and then it being him in 3D. I enjoyed that game back in the day. Did you watch the doc that followed, it's like, I think it's indie game, the movie. Did you watch that?
No, I never did, but I know what movie you're talking about.
That was a fun movie, man. That was a fun movie. All right. I have everything that was announced there. They had Outer Worlds 2. Doesn't do anything for me. Although I like Obsidian, but I've always wanted to try Outer Worlds.
You said fatigue, bro. I have Obsidian fatigue. Get these Bethesda looking games out of my fucking way. Like Clockwork Revolution.
No.
This is another game on the list. Nano.
No, don't say it.
What? What is it, Nano?
I was about to get to that was my game of show for me, honestly.
Oh.
Dude, because it had a time mechanic.
You know what I'll say, Nano? I'm glad you liked it because it took up 8 minutes of the goddamn show. And yes, it did have a time mechanic that they introduced 8 minutes into the goddamn trailer, bro.
I could not believe they waited that long to introduce
Holy shit.
Dude, it feels bio. That game doesn't give me Bethesda vibes. It gives me more Bioshocky vibes. But I will say that was a really that was the longest I think they spent besides the Black Ops 7 trailer. That was the longest they spent on any one game, I feel like, for sure. But then they didn't give it a date. That felt like the type of trailer that ends with a date. Like, you showed us so much.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I basically played the fucking game at that point.
Yeah,
I saw all of it, every single second of it.
Hang on, Black Ops 7, that didn't really do much, because here's the thing, bro. I'm going to play Call of Duty, especially since it's on Game Pass now. Like, I played a decent amount of 6. I played quite a bit of 6, actually, because the zombies in that game fucking rocked. And this is a direct sequel to 2, which is also pretty exciting. So, I mean, I'm going to play Black Ops 7, but that is not a show ender, especially since Phil, right before showing us this, hints at Halo. He's like, in a game that's been here with us since the beginning. He's talking about all the games we're going to get next year on Xbox. And I'm like, what? Because, dude, anything to do with Halo, I'm tapped in, bro. I'm sorry. I see Master Chief, and I'm there. You got me. But, dude, that into that was crazy. Ninja Gaiden 4 looked cool.
Ninja Gaiden 4 looked fine, but, we'd already seen that with the Ninja Gaiden stuff. So it didn't, shake me to my core or anything. I'm going to speed run this, bro, because, honestly, Ninja Gaiden 4, whatever. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 or 4, whatever. Grounded 2.
3 and 4 is interesting. It's interesting that when you go to buy that game, the primary art for that is the Slayer, is the Doom Slayer. Have you seen that?
Because I did see he was playable, but I was just like, okay. It's Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 or 4. It's whatever. Grounded 2, Grounded 1 again. Okay. I hope it's not an early access. Oh, wait. Didn't they say it was an early access?
I don't know.
Go fuck yourself. I'm pretty sure they did podcast moment alert. Go fuck yourself. Gears of War Reloaded.
Hype.
It's cool. But at the same time, I'll just say this here. This is the only topic I could say this with. On the forums and pretty much everywhere else, I've realized people are looking at Gears of War Reloaded. One, this is not E-Day, so who really gives a fuck? But two, people are looking at this as like a new Gears of War game. This is Gears of War 1 with 4K textures.
120 frames per second, console support.
Yeah, like, that's, looks a little better, console support. Like, yes, that's it. But it's Gears of War 1 again, so the Nasher is inconsistent. There's, like, the wall bouncing isn't quite right. You don't get the hit marker. A lot of people on the forums are like, hey, why is my Nasher inconsistent? They should add this, this, and this to make the game better. It's like, bro.
They do.
You're technically right, but go play the newer game. Like, that is the point of this game, is that it's old. But I think it's because people were like, I thought this was supposed to be, like, the hype up for E-Day. Yeah, well, kind of, but bro, like, it's an old game. What do you want it to do? It just looks better now.
Indiana Jones, whatever.
Indiana Jones, kind of whatever. It's, I mean, DLC. It was a fine game, DLC.
DLC on single player games, still, I'm surprised we still get DLC for, like, people keep talking about Spider-Man 2 DLC and how we never got Spider-Man 2 DLC, and I was like, I never touched Spider-Man 1 DLC. It's rare, and I love Spider-Man, but it's rare that I'll play DLC for a single player game. Like, once I've beat that game, I'm kind of just moving on. So, anyways, Clockwork Revolution, we just talked about. High on Life 2, did that do anything for you?
I don't like, but I've never really been a fan of comedy games, so no.
Yeah, same. Didn't.
Blood of the Dawn Walker was the most mid thing I've ever seen in my fucking life.
It was framey. I cannot believe it was a framey presentation.
There was a few of those here. Keeper is the most Double Fine game I've ever seen in my life. Take that as you will. Maybe that's positive, maybe that's a negative, but that was the most Double Fine thing I've ever seen. Resonance of Plague Tale Legacy. I've never played a Plague Tale, and I don't fucking plan on it, dude. Scoop. What, have you played Plague Tale?
No, they've always interested me, but no, I've never actually taken the plunge to play one.
Elder Scrolls Online, literally couldn't care less about that game. Never tried it, never will.
I did. I have 50, 60 hours in the ESO, but I'm probably never going back.
At Fate's End, low key, I forget what this one was, but it does have an intro. I remember saying it had an interesting title. I think it was like
it looks turn-based to me, but I could be wrong. Or card game. Or both.
Yeah, I can't remember that one. So I'll say it was a skip. It could be. Not a Persona guy.
No. Nope.
But I know other people really like this one.
That was the most, like, yes, it fucking exists. Shut up already. Let us work on this game type reveal ever, dog.
Yeah, like, as a non-fan, I thought the trailer was whatever as fuck. Like, it was a dude walking, like a SpongeBob walk cycle.
5 seconds, by the way. It was like 5 seconds, dude.
Then, okay, well, I was going to say we get into some decent stuff, but Age of Mythology, don't care. That's just me, though. Mudang, wasn't this the really cool one? Yes. This one was a W.
Dude, that was
Mudang's W.
That was sick.
This one's a win. Invincible Versus, that's cool. I'll play that. That's interesting.
People were sad that there was a fighting game, and I'm like, so when I first saw this rollover, I thought it was going to be a Telltale style game because I thought that's what that company made.
I had a moment of panic because, one, the trailer started with, like, world fucking premiere, and I was like, corny alert. This is another comedy game alert. And then it starts with a guy in the car, and I was like, oh, no, life simulator comedy.
I didn't see the yellow blur at
first. You didn't notice it at this time?
No.
Nah, I did right away, bro. My fucking ears perked up. Maybe it's because I was so ready to be disappointed. I was like, corny alert. And then Invincible flies in. I was like, we're back. But then, you're right, the camera pans, and I thought for a second it was going to be like a deck-building strategy game kind of thing. I was like, no, not like this.
I saw people sad, though, that's fighting. I'm like, it's Invincible. Why would you not want it to be a fighting game?
Low-key, though, part of me was like, wow, are they going to finally make, like, a Superman game that people have always wanted where you just fly around and, like, it's a story-based? I don't know how they would, like, do it.
Yeah, Superman, Insomniac, Spider-Man 2 style Invincible game is kind of the only thing I would want. I saw people asking for an arena fighter, and I'm like, no.
No.
I would rather say, though,
as a hater, I don't think it looks the greatest. I don't think the animations are quite the best, so I'm hoping it gets ironed out, but I will be buying and playing regardless. Now, Nano, is this next one Final Fantasy 16?
Yeah.
I was happy about this one because you would not stop fucking bitching at me about this game, so I can finally give it a shot, Nano.
Are you going to?
I probably will. Yeah, now that it's on Xbox, I probably actually will. So for most people, I will say, I think this is whatever. For me, I was actually like, okay, all right.
Oh, I mean, anytime that pops, dude, that OST does so much for me. I even though I've not finished that damn game and I've been playing it for a long time, I love the shit out of that game. That game's probably gonna end up being at least top 20 on my all time. So
anyway, yeah. I do want to eat. I'm trying to like fast forward through these. Sea of Thieves. I don't care about Sea of Thieves was released in 2016.
Sea of Thieves is fun with friends. I saw Dino messaged me trying to get me on that game literally just like a month ago.
It is fun with friends. But like as a guy that doesn't care, holy shit, this game is old as fuck, dude. Like I can't believe it. Now next up, Beast of Reincarnation. Dude. This was framey as fuck too, but it's from Game Freak. Yeah. And that alone makes it interesting. I'm not even going to lie, Nato. Let me know if based or cringe, bro. Game Freak doing something like this is interesting enough alone that I'd probably give them $80 just to see it anyway.
Yep.
Like, low-key, I'm just like, all right, you got it.
You don't have to, though, because it should be on Game Pass, right?
Game Pass. Oh, Nato. That's the best part. And here comes Fallout 76 to make me sad.
But
again,
I think they've gotten better, so they have to do... they don't have to do, but I think they feel obligated to do the 76 stuff. Like, these games that are, you know, consistently getting updates... That was a much better than what I think we used to get back in the day where they'd get a lot of screen time. And this did seem like it dragged a little bit, but I still think it's a little bit better than it used to be. Anyways,
it wasn't that long.
Aphelion.
I don't remember Aphelion. Did you want to talk about this next one?
I mean, it's the same game, but new, and it's on Steam. It's Solo Leveling Arise Overdrive. I mean, I am still so, I rewatched, dude. I don't ever rewatch it. I've rewatched the final three episodes of Solo Leveling Season 2 again. That's so like, I really like that series, bro. So yeah, I'm probably going to actually play that game. But anyways, it is what it is. Planet of Lana 2, Children of the
Leaf. This was the limbo like. So I think this will be pretty good. I will play that.
Yes, yes, yes. A lot of people in my chat were gassing that up. Super Meat Boy 3D looks awesome.
That one's exciting.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. There are no ghosts at the Grand. That game. There's a lot of games that look like that game now.
Ooh,
that's the hotel.
Yeah,
that was another.
I thought that was lame as fuck. I'm not playing that shit. No way.
I didn't hate the idea of it. Animo is literally Pal World, but it looks better.
Oh, that game's gonna do numbers in the women community. I remember that one.
It looked very AI-esque.
It looked very like K-pop-esque to me. Oh. Like very cutesy, very bubbly,
AI, I don't mean this in a bad way.
I know
way.
What you mean.
It looks so. It almost looked too pretty or almost too
smooth. Yes. Like beauty filter.
That's what I mean. Like it looked like that's like, I don't mean that as like a disrespect. It almost looked too good to be true. Like it looked,
it looks exactly like, and this is a very specific reference, but there's a Japanese like picture, like arcade, not an arcade game, but like an arcade machine where you go in and it like very like traditional, like Eastern beauty fies you up. So that you look like a doll? Like, this is a very porcelain doll, AI looking game. Yes.
Kronos, the new Dawn. I don't remember this. Yes,
this
I
one is cool. This
sick.
Is the Dead Space. Yeah, I was going to say, this is the good one, bro. Actually, wait. Hold on. Was Ill not in this one? Or was... Oh, Ill was Summer Games Fest.
It was, yeah. It was not this. This is the one that looks like Resident Evil, right? Like,
No, this is like Dead Space, but like...
Dead Space, sure.
Creepy.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
no,
Kronos looked great.
One. Yes.
Kronos looked great. I'll play... So, just recap. Kronos... Super Meat Boy 3D, Planet of Lana, I'll throw in there. Beast of Reincarnation, Invincible Versus. I think we might... Gears of War Reloaded, I will be playing, but I don't think that's exciting to show people. I'm not willing to put that on other people's head. But I think that would be where my list stopped of things that I perked up for. I was like, okay.
What about the ROG Xbox Ally X? Did this do anything for
I probably will be buying, but I don't think it's that exciting. No. I probably will buy it though, but to me it's boring. Like it's really boring.
So this is, I've seen a lot of people, I think, getting their, I don't know, like a lot of people are calling this an Xbox handheld, and yes, it does have the Xbox emblem on it, but let's be real. It is just a modified ROG Ally. That's all. It's not a truly dedicated Xbox handheld. And I don't think we're going to, I saw some rumors that maybe the dedicated one has been completely like, squashed.
I don't think they would do it now. They just made a big deal of this one.
Yeah. There's two things that are, well, one thing really that's going to be holding this back, and that's the price. Because I'm sorry, this thing is not going to be anything under $800. And my guess is it's going to be nine. I think it'll be $899 for the X, because they're doing two models. They're doing the black one that has the Z2 Extreme chip in it, which is an actual, the one that's in the current ROG Ally is a Z1 Extreme. And that's what's in most of the, that's what's like in the Legion Go and all of that. It's very similar performance to the Steam Deck. It's actually more powerful than what's in the Steam Deck, but the Steam Deck with Steam OS and just a nice uniform experience with, you know, from Valve is why the Steam just performs so much better, even though it's outclassed by the other chip and just raw performance. Anyways, this shit is going to be at, I would say if Xbox decides to maybe take a hit, like Microsoft's like, fuck it, we'll, you know, we'll take a hit on some of this and give Asus some type of incentive, right, to lower the price. The cheapest, I think you see this thing is $799, and the other one that's going to be under like powered by a lot might be $499 or $599. I think there's a world where these things are $1,000, Dotto. So these are going to be niche as hell. So I just see people talking about this as if it's like a PS Vita, you know, or even a Switch 2. And I'm like, this thing is probably going to, you could buy two Switch 2s probably for the price of this one singular thing. And it will be really powerful and it will be really cool, but I think it's going to be really niche.
Yeah, I don't think this is a product for very many people.
Like the Steam Deck is awesome. And I wouldn't necessarily consider it niche, but I think total Steam Deck sales are like under 4 million, dog.
Total, yeah, I don't.
Steam Deck sales, hang on. Between 3.7 and 4 million units worldwide by the end of 2024. Like, the Switch did that in one, the Switch 2 did that in one day, Dotto. So, I doubt Xbox and Microsoft and all, and you know, Asus even believe this is going to do that crazy of numbers. This is definitely for the like true super fan, one wants to, is already ingrained in the ecosystem, is a huge fan of Game Pass, is getting this to be able to continue their Gears, their Xbox,
you talking
their Halo
about,
session.
You talking about me.
Yeah, their Final Fantasy 16 session, like on
you talking
their
about me. That's it, bro. That's who it's for, and I will buy it, but I'm not even happy about it, so I don't even know how successful it is.
Like, I do think it looks really comfortable, though, in the hands. Like, I'm glad they just embraced the fact that it's like, it is a gamer-ass device, and it literally, like, the sides of it are an actual controller sides. That's awesome. That's really wicked.
Yeah.
Anyways, last thing about Xbox... thoughts on them announcing their partnership with AMD. AMD will be there. They're working closely with them to build out the next Xbox. I think this to me sounds like they really are embracing the fact that the next Xbox is going to be less of a console and more of a home entertainment PC. I think that's really where we're going to. I
say fuck it, dog, do it.
Installing Steam on an Xbox, I think, is more likely than ever now. Like, I think they're just going to sell you an all-in-one PC that has this really nice Xbox like user interface, but at the end of the day, it's really still just a PC. Like,
I think do it, and honestly, I think it's the right decision. I think it's going to be one of those things where once they do it, like, it's going to be, I think it's going to be really nice. People are going to really like it, and then Sony's going to be like, well, fuck.
No, 100%. I said this in a squad call the other day. You know, Xbox has been behind, and I think that this is how I think they will end up ahead. I think that Sony needs to lock the F in and like do the Nintendo strategy and say, like, we got, like, more people keep asking for Sony exclusives to come to PC faster. I think what Sony's going to have to do is not do that. I think they're still going to have to maintain at least a year of exclusivity, because the thing is, if
not even a year, oh my gosh,
the thing is, you know, cool, I'm going to be able to play Gears on my PS5 in like a month and a half. But if Xbox lets you install Steam on their Xbox, then you're going to be playing Spider-Man 2 and God of War on an Xbox. And like,
I think absolutely, like Nintendo, again, this is not good advice for us as consumers, but Nintendo has shown that literally people will like buy your shit just to play like one or two games or one of two types of games.
If they're actually good. Yeah.
If they're good enough and they like them. If I was Sony, fuck that. Maybe at most I would give you like a Last of Us, and I'd be like, you're never getting Last of Us 2, by the way. Yeah, if you want to play that, come buy our console about it. And that's it. Like, I would just make very big exclusives. I would just do that pretty much. And that's it, basically. That has to be the entire strategy, is just make the best experiences you can. As exclusive as you can, and hold on tight and never let go and never give anybody an inch.
I really do think that's what they're going to have to do. Cause I think, dude, Xbox is, listen, bro, I PlayStation through and through. I got a PlayStation sign right here, bro. I love just, PlayStation just makes the games and the IP that I just really enjoy. But I think Xbox has had their sights on the far future, and that's what they've been looking at. And I think right now they're going to be the one trending upwards at the end of all of this. They also own half the industry. So
I'm looking at this Nano as a very much like almost crossplay kind of thing. Cause I don't know if it can be the same to you, but crossplay is one of those things that not too long ago when I was in middle school, I would constantly joke, tell my friends, I was like, man, imagine if we could play together. Like, imagine if we could just play together. Like, we own the same game. We just can't play it. And now crossplay is a thing where games come out. It's like, no crossplay? All right, I'm not playing. That's stupid. Fuck. Like, why no crossplay? Like, it should have been crossplay. I think as soon as you get a console where people can play PC games, they're like, wait, you can't? Over there, you can't play Steam games? That's crazy. That's crazy. Like, yeah, we're going to play Repo tonight, bro. Like, you're missing out. All right, well, see you, dog. It's like people are going to choose the option where they can play the most amount of things.
No, 1,000,000%. Although I saw Chalk tweet this and I was like, that's crazy because I'm still not doing this. Chalk tweeted and said, Chalktopus tweeted and said, with the Switch 2 and its current power, he actually thinks he might start buying his third-party games on his Switch 2. And I can get why you want to do that because you can still take the Switch everywhere. But the Switch 2, even as powerful as it is, still ain't running this shit as well as I'd want to run it. And there's just no world I'm paying $60, $70, $80 for a third-party game to run it as if I'm playing it back on my PS4. I'm just not doing that. Like, I'm not. I would rather wait, spend a little bit extra money, get this device from Xbox, and invest more in the Xbox ecosystem and play my games on the Xbox ecosystem than still buy them on the Switch 2. The Switch 2 has me locked in because of Nintendo's games, because holy shit, I need to play Donkey Kong. Like, that's like that, and that right there is why PlayStation needs to lock the fuck in, stop remastering The Last of Us. Holy shit, I have Last of Us fatigue, and I love that series, but like, damn, dog, we need some other stuff, bro. And you know what other stuff that they're doing, Dotto, is that Marvel fighting game, and that right, that's the shit I need to see, because that is cool. What else is cool, Dotto? We did Z Rewatch this week.
Oh, good. We're finally getting to the meat and potatoes, bro, because I want to eat.
Oh, dude, yeah, you
Let's talk
food.
About it.
Dotto
I do,
food.
Yeah. Well, look, I should have waited, bro. I'm starving.
Fortunately for you, Dotto, there's not much to talk about here today.
I mean, bro, like, this is about to get bad.
There's not much to talk about. So we watched episodes 58 and 59 from the Namek Saga. These episodes originally aired back in Japan in August of 1990. And I just love doing this because it's just so much fun. These are the episodes that they had a redub. We're still not so when Funimation took over and started dubbing, because we're about six episodes away, I believe, from that. So this came out in September of 05 was when the redub of these came, or when they went back and did the original first like 60 episodes of the series. This is the episode where Gohan has the four-star Dragon Ball and is still away from Krillin and Bulma, and Vegeta finds him, and Vegeta somehow fumbles and doesn't get the Dragon Ball from him, leaves because he thinks the Dragon Ball is still like in that spot that he left on Namek, the four-star. Anywho, and then also asks about the device Gohan is holding. Gohan says, it's a watch. And Vegeta's like, hang on now. I've seen the tech I got. There's no way.
I like the fucking wikis frying Vegeta. Vegeta can't find his Dragon Ball and remembers Gohan was near the place he hid it. Oh my God. Vegeta was dumb as hell this episode. But this episode also,
yes,
if I want to be nice, it features the Ginyu Force. And I forgot that they got glazed this heavy, bro. They introduced them right. They're covered in shade. They're like on another planet getting ready for evac to go on a special mission. They're stance up. They're in line. They're getting in their pods. It was pretty nice, bro. Like, I was like, oh man, these guys are like hard. It made them look like the SEAL Team 6 of Frieza's army.
Yeah, dude. You said I want to see a game, and I might be saying this. Dokkan's LR intro for this unit. They did a Ginyu Force scene about a year ago. It might have. Hang on. Can we look this up? Let's just a brief break to look up Dokkan LR intro. Dokkan LR Ginyu Force intro. It might have it, Dono. Here we go. Oh, no.
Nah, this is the pose, bro. Like, and again, I get it. The pose is good. The pose is good. But and again, it's more in their personality. Like, obviously, it's kind of like a setup to a joke, what we just watched.
Yeah.
But it was still cool to see them, like, because they are taken seriously in the Force. Like, they're good soldiers. So it was nice to see them just fully, like, in their respect element among their weaker peers, I guess. Because we only ever see the Guinea Force on an empty Namek. So we don't really get that respect.
Yeah.
But here, they were the SEAL Team 6, bro. Oh, my God.
It was awesome. So the major events from this episode were Guinea Force head for Namek and Gohan returns with Vegeta still in Dragon Ball. Krillin and Bulma relocate, which is good because Vegeta shows up and destroys where they were prior. The differences from the manga here, Frieza is alone when he deduces that Zarbon has either been killed or ran away and that the Guinea Force will soon appear. In the anime, there are three other soldiers present, with Frieza killing one of them after he deems him unnecessary, which Donald wanted to point out.
Also, fun fact, looks like Nano.
One of them looked like me. Additionally, this scene happened earlier in the anime than in the manga. In the anime, it happens 4 days before the Guinea Force arrive on Namek, but in the manga, it happens on the same day they arrive. And then King Kai picking up the evil presence of the Guinea Force, who explains to his trainees, is exclusive to the anime. The rest of it, though, was manga accurate. And I definitely, the sequence with King Kai, they show him zoomed in on his face and you can just hear water or something like dripping down.
Yeah, Nano's not going to want to admit this, but he thought King Kai pissed himself due to the sheer aura of the Guinea Force. Like, that would have been the most embarrassing job, like, of setting somebody up of all time.
Yeah. Let's see, couple pieces of trivia from this one. When Vegeta returns to Suno's village, he does not seem to take note of the villagers' corpses being gone, as Gohan had buried them in Guru's gift before he found the Dragon Ball. It is only after he discovers that the 4-star Dragon Ball is missing and realizes that he was tricked. The aforementioned burying was filler. And then also, King Kai refers to the Guinea Force as a secret special assault team within the Frieza Force, but given what is revealed later about the Force's loud and posturing nature, that seems rather suspect. This was never referenced within the manga, however.
Ooh, I didn't know that, actually. That kind of changed. But, I mean, it makes sense. Why would he call in anybody but his best team?
Yeah.
Why would Frieza even have a team? But there you go.
I'm just excited to be to the Guinea Force section. And I'm really excited for Guinea Force stuff after we watched episode 59.
Hold on, bro. We got to give it a score, bro. We got to give that first one a score, bro.
I figured we'd do it all at once, but okay, sure. Yeah, we can.
I don't want to get confused,
right,
bro, because this is going to piss me off. This is going to piss me off.
You know what?
I don't want to get confused.
You are, in fact, spitting. Dada, we gave Zarbon's mission, you gave it an 8. I gave it a 7. You gave Gohan the Hunted a 10. We're coming off a 10, Dada. I gave it a 9. It was good, though. It was good.
This episode, I'm going to give a... Wait, I forget who went.
It doesn't matter. You can go first.
I'm going to give it a bright and early... I don't want to glaze too much. I'll give it a 6.
I gave it a 7.
Mainly for the Guinea Force stuff, honestly.
I gave it a 7. Yeah, the Guinea Force stuff was sick.
And the Vegeta rage at the end. That was also cool.
Dude, it was a good episode. It blew... I mean, I don't want to get into spoiler territory for you guys, but it kind of blew Destination Guru out of the freaking water, bro. This is episode 59.
Out of the water? Out of the water?
You like that?
See, y'all today tapped in on the rewatch. Don't even know that shit, bro. That was a layers to this kind of thing.
So
anyway, this episode sucked ass.
You want to tell the major events?
Yeah.
Here,
major events. Hold on. Let me get my reading glasses on. Bulma ventures into Namek's waters to find a Dragon Ball that got away.
And how did it get away?
Under the battles category. Hold on, Nano. The battles category. Bulma versus giant enemy crab.
Okay, but how did the Dragon Ball get away, Dotto?
It rolled away,
how
dog. And then it rolled into the water, and Bulma tried to get it with a stick because she didn't want to get her foot wet, and then it rolled deeper into the water. Got taken by a dinosaur fish. I can remember all of it.
They kind
of
look like
Lapras.
Taken by a dinosaur fish.
It looked like Lapras. Slipped out of the bristly shells on its back. Fell deeper into water. Bulma could have grabbed it. Saw a pearl. Wasn't a pearl. It was like a trap. Clam shut his mouth. Ball falls deeper in the water. Lands amongst other pearls, not pearls, crab eggs. Crab turns around. Bulma fights crab. Crab crushes Bulma. Bulma escapes crush crab with little robot. Anyway, can you see why this episode fucking sucks? This was a whole episode, by the way. We got one cutaway to Goku training at 100 times gravity. And that was it.
Oh, and go.
It was the best part of the show.
And Gohan heading to Guru's house. That's. Oh, and then also Bulma had a dream sequence where she thought Vegeta was like killing her. How can I ask? Can I ask you how the hell is the summary for this episode this long? Like, what are we doing? Like,
I don't know. It was horrible.
If I scroll down and there's not a difference, it's from the manga that just says the entire thing. All right, hang on. Let's read it. Bulma's dream sequence where Vegeta kills her while it's looking for the stolen Dragon Ball is exclusive to the anime. Frieza firing aimless blast at Namek while spaceship out of frustration is exclusive to the anime. Bulma journeying into the ocean using a submarine to find the runaway Dragon Ball is exclusive to the anime. Frieza soldiers kidnapping Bulma to take her to Frieza is exclusive to the anime. Whoa!
That was pretty much the entire episode exclusive to the anime. But I will also say, we didn't mention that she does eventually get the Dragon Ball back and then is kidnapped, like you just heard. And now the next episode's also about this storyline, so... Yeah, dude, I don't feel very generous on this one, and I'll let you go first on the rating, though. Go ahead, take it away.
Well, I just want to say, the last thing is the next episode's called Bulma's Big Day, which, of course, when you read that and you're like, okay, so that's the next episode, you're like, okay, so that's definitely the filler episode of this arc, for sure, or of this, like, section of the show.
That's what we thought going in. That's what we thought going
in. There's no world we're doing two of these back-to-back, right? There's no world.
We literally say at the beginning of the rewatch, we're like, wow, thank God we have that episode next time, because we don't want to do that shit now. We got baited. Again, this is the second title. Like, the first one was Gohan the Hunted. It wasn't even about Gohan being hunted.
Nope.
This one, Destination Guru, my ass, dude. My ass. All
right, you tell me when you're ready, because I got my. Hang on, I gotta scroll. I gotta look at one thing really quick.
I threw it up on the screen for the visual watch.
Okay, I know what I'm giving this. I'm ready.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm giving this a 3. This is a 3.
I'm giving it a 2.
Okay. Let's see. Hang on. So what I scrolled up, because I was like, I just want to make sure. I still want Dueling Piccolos to have my lowest score right now. And it does at a 2. So I think this is one step above, because I enjoyed this a bit more than Dueling Piccolos. You gave Dueling Piccolos a 1. I gave it a 2. I gave this a 3. You gave it a 2. So...
I didn't think about it like that. I didn't know what my Dueling Piccolo score would. I would say this is a notch above Dueling Piccolo's, because at least it was different environments. You know, like, at least it was different. It just sucked. So, but yeah.
What was Global Training? Do you remember what this episode was?
No idea, but it probably wasn't great.
We both gave it 2s as well, and so that's why I'm like, what happened in Global Training? Like, a major. Look how small this is. The summary section for this page is, well, honestly, Piccolo continues to train alone in the wasteland. Launch once again tries to win over Tien's heart. Man, we've came so far, bro. Krillin recruits Tien and Chiaotzu. Goku falls from Snake Way. Oh, that's probably why I don't miss the Snake Way episodes. Goku tries taking fruit from a tree, but it's
Snake
not
Way was a great Snake Way sucked ass. Like,
yeah,
real.
Bro. Oh, I don't miss. But the entire rest of this episode was exclusive to the anime. Oh, that's what, what was their one thing? Was them going to Guru in this episode that we just watched? Is that the only way this is why this doesn't say this on the episode?
Yeah, no, that was it.
Jeez. All right, guys, that was the Z Rewatch. It's still continue on. It is, of course, available to watch as a bonus if you want to watch along with us, as well as tons of other bonus stuff. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. But I think I hear some music, and I think you guys
I do
food,
too,
so.
Bro. I got some food to go run and eat. And get the music out of here, bro. I'm trying to leave.